Now in Parshas Ki Tavo, we learn about the mitzvah of Bikurim. Yeah? And Bikurim is one of the only mitzvahs that we have in this week's Parsha. And the Torah says about the mitzvah of Bikurim, we'll read the Pesukim. Larry, if you want a copy, I have an extra copy here. No. Okay. And it says, "V'ha'yu ki tavala aretz, asher Hashem alkech l'osem l'cha nachalavi rishtavi shavtem ba." So you enter into the land, and you settle therein. V'lakachta me'reishis pri ha'adama. You remember this? You take from the first fruits that grow on your trees, or the first grains that grow in your field. Asher tavi me'aretz l'cha, you bring it from any part of the land of Israel, wherever you find yourself. You take of the first fruits that grow on your tree, because the Mishnah says you have to designate it, you know, you put a ribbon around it, you know, when the first fruits grow, and you place it into this beautiful basket. And the Mishnayos describe the pageantry and the color, you know, when they walk to Yerushalayim with all these fruits and people join them and they play music. It's a very exciting thing. And you have to arrive at the place where God's Shekhinah resides. And then you come to the Kohen and you tell the Kohen, Igadati Ayom LaShem Elokecha, please allow me to declare in front of the Lord my God. God promised us this land. He gave us the land. And Rashi says, why is it important that he declares when he brings his Bikurim that God gave us the land? You have to demonstrate that you're not an ingrate, that you really recognize and appreciate what God did for you. And the reason why you're able to produce these fruits in your land is because God gave you the land. Now it's interesting that this language of Rashi is a negative sort of. She'eincha kofui tova. That you're not an ingrate. You know, someone who doesn't acknowledge someone else's favor. Rashi could have said it in a more positive way. V'amarta a love. Rashi could have interpreted as ato makir tova, that you recognize the good that somebody gave you, feel gratitude towards that person. But let's take a look at the drush of Rav Yosef in Masecht Nida. He darshins a pasuk in Yeshayahu Anavi, and it's a very strange pasuk, because Yeshayahu starts the pasuk by saying, Odecha Hashem. Odecha means I thank you, God. And then he says, why? Ki anaftabi, because you have punished me. And B, shuv apcha v'tchenachameni. I think there's a phone, yeah. So what does Rav Yosef see in this pasuk? He says, HaKosav Adab b'shnei b'nei yodim sheyotzu l'schor. Two people went out for a business deal. Yashavlo coats li echad mihem, and one of them sits on a thorn and he really hurts itself. And hischil macharif umagadif. So he starts yelling out like curses. He's very angry. Maybe he's looking for the culprit who might have placed that coats over there. Li yamim. Later on he finds out that Shoma. He is a rumor shetavos fina social chaver biyam, that his friend who went on a different ship, but they both went out to the same land in order to do trading, you know, import export, that his boat, his yacht, drowned in the sea. It sunk in the sea. Hischil, all of a sudden, he begins modu mishabeach. I mean, what happened to him? He sat on a thorn. Okay, he got a little boo-boo there. But he didn't lose his life and all his schora. Is therefore a kach nemar. That's why he turns to Hashem and he says, Odcha Hashem ki anafta bi. I thank you, God, because you gave me a minor punishment. But Yashuv apcha v'tenachameni. If I begin to appreciate what your anger could bring, like to my friend here, never, then to Nachameni, this small, relatively insignificant punishment and suffering that I experienced is an achama for me. It's really it consoles me because I realize something much more terrible and tragic could have befallen me. And the Gemara quotes a statement of Rabbi Elazar. My dechsiv, what does it mean when David Amel says in Tilim, Baruch Hashem Elokim Elokei Yisrael, Osei Niflos Levado, Ubaruch Shein Kvodoli Olam? What is he emphasizing in David Amel when he claims that God's name should be blessed Li Olam? Olam means in all situations. He says, Afilu Balanes Einu Makir Beniso. It means that sometimes a person doesn't even recognize, he doesn't realize and acknowledge the great miracle that God brought about for him. This person didn't realize that he started getting so angry when he had this minor uncomfortable incident. He sat on a nail, you know what I mean? And when if he would have realized what a great miracle was, had he traveled on the ship with his friend, he would have drowned. He would have probably lost all his money and maybe even his life. So what this means is that it's not really possible for a human being to be makir tova, to really recognize the goodness and the greatness that God bestowed upon him, because there are miracles that are happening and he doesn't even know about them. Ein balanes makir beniso. He's not even aware of it. He finds out sometimes later, but sometimes he doesn't even find out. He's constantly protected by God. And therefore, instead of saying that the maybe Bikurim is Makir Tova in a positive sense, that he expresses his gratitude, no. Rashi says, Einu Kofwi Tova. There's just a negation of Kfiyas HaTov. He's not an ingrate. But to call him a Makir Tova, that we can't do, because he doesn't even realize, he doesn't have any clue about all these great things that are happening to him. So you want to thank Hashem and express your gratitude. Well, you really can't do that because you never really know what are the various secret miracles below the surface that God is bringing about for you at all moments. So at best you can say, I'm not an ingrate. I say to God, I appreciate, but you really can't appreciate what God is doing for you because there's so many hidden miracles that happen in your life. And if this be the case, he says, we can embellish, now we're in the middle column here, we can embellish this idea even further when it says, Encha Kofui Tov, it doesn't say, Hincha Makir Tova. This is perhaps what the Rama means when he codifies the mitzvah of Kriyas Bikurim, what's called Mikra Bikurim, when you bring your first fruits, you recite the Parsha Bikurim. The Rambam codifies this as a mitzvah selis vados b'migdosh ala bikurim b'shoshem eviyom maschil v'korei higadeti ayom l'shem alkecha ki bosi ala oretz arami ovid ovi ad sheyigmar kol parsha ad asher nasato li Hashem. And this is the Rambam's codification of the Mishnah in Masech the Bikurim in the second parak, which says, Yesh b'maser b'bikurim asher enkein b'truma shamaser v'bikurim te'unim avos makom u'te'unim vidui. So truma you don't have to bring to the Beis HaMikdash, there's no recitation of any parsha, but in the cases of maser and bikurim, you have to bring them to the Beis HaMikdash, and there you're going to recite a parsha. Now why is this called vidui? So those who were with me earlier know that Rav Salvechik has an insight into why this is called vidui. Vidui means confession. But here, we're going to look at it from a whole different perspective. And that is, that there's a mitzvah to acknowledge that we really don't know what God is doing for us. We can't really appreciate the greatness of all the miracles that God is bestowing upon us. And he writes the following, Mitzvah achar zu lahavi bikurim yakach lisvados al bikurim. And what sin is he being misvada on? And you could suggest that the sin is the fact that he really doesn't appreciate, because he doesn't know what to appreciate. And here he quotes the Mishnah in Masechta Bikurim, and it says the following: V'lakachtem erishis, Adam yorid l'tok sadeh, ro'et ha'enosh bikra. He sees a fig that's growing on his tree, and it's the first fig that grew. Korech alei gumi, he ties it with some sort of a rubber ribbon, l'simon, and he knows that he's designating, and he recites hareza bikuri. And now, we have halacha of ein mevim bikurim chutz misheva minim, right? There are seven special species that God, Nishtabchu ben Eretz Yisrael, that God praised the special nature of Eretz Yisrael with these seven species. And the strange thing is that when the Mishnah wanted to demonstrate that he's bringing one of the seven species, because as soon as it grew, he wrapped up a simonah, the Mishnah isolates and singles out a te'ena, a fig. And perhaps we can understand this based on a statement in the Minchas Bikurim, who says, based on a sugya in Brachos, Ilan she'achol benu adam arishon, Rav Nechemya omer te'ena hoisa. Did you know this? The Christians say it was an apple. Am I right?
The
Eitz Hadas was it an apple? They say
it's wheat. Yeah. Some say so.
Correct. In Chazal we have many options, but the apple is not one of them. But one of the options, which is Rabbi Nechemya, he says it's a te'ena, it's a fig. And why does he say it's a fig of all fruits? Because when God castigates Adam HaRishon and Chava, and he expels them from Gan Eden, the first thing that they do in order to show God that they want to straighten themselves out, what we call a tikkun, rectify the sin, it says, Vayitperu ola te'ena. They took the leaves of a fig tree.
By an etrog. A fig leaf.
Well, again, there's another opinion that might have been an etrog. There are many, many opinions, but this opinion of Rabbi Nechemya in the Gemara Brachos Daf Mem, he identifies the tree that they ate from as a fig tree. Right. And why does he do that? Because immediately afterwards it says that they took from the fig tree the leaves and they made clothing out of it to clothe their nakedness. So let's try to understand what this is all about. This is meant to be a tikkun to rectify the chet, the terrible sin of the Eitz Hadas. And how are we going to rectify it? We're going to take a te'ena, a fig, when it grows and it matures on the tree, and we're going to bring it for bikurim. What's the relationship here between bringing the bikurim? So now we're going to take a look at a Rashi on Sefer Tehillim. You know, Rashi wrote a commentary on Tanakh. The Pasuk says in the 50th chapter of Tehillim, Zovech Todi Chabdenini. Rashi says, Hamevili Zevach Shal Tshuva Vauda Al Avanosav Hu Yichabdedeni. Now, Rashi identifies this Hodah, this great praise that a man is bringing to God, as a Zevach Shal Tshuva. Now, there's something called the Karban Todah. Of all the constellation of Karbonos, there's one classification of Karbonos which is called the Karban Todah, which is the case in which a person wants to express his gratitude to God for a great miracle that he experienced. Either he went through the river, to the water, he went through the sea, or, for example, he went through the desert and he came out alive. He was ill, very ill, and he somehow restored his health, or he was locked up in a jail, and he got out of jail. And Rashi says that, which is this Zevach Todah?
There are four instances where
correct.
A person brings a korban.
Right. And Rashi says that when it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Zevach Todah, which means he brings a korban Zevach Todah, Rashi identifies this as someone who is bringing tshuva and hodah, al avanosav, meaning he's confessing his sins. I mean, this Zevach Todah, which David HaMelech is talking about, ostensibly, a Karban Todah has nothing to do with Tshuva and Hodah Lavanosav. This Karban Todah, on the contrary, is a Karban in which he praises God, and he sings about the glorification of God in that Karban. Why is Rashi identifying this Karban as a Karban of Hodah Lachet, where he's confessing his sins as part of the process of tshuva. That's pretty far removed from what we identify as a korban todah. So the Gemara says in Brachos, Li'olam yehi adam ragil lomar kol di'ovid rachmona l'tava. But this is something we derive from Rabbi Akiva. We want to imitate Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the one who goes on record as saying, whatever happened, it's all part of a divine plan, and it's for my benefit. It's for some ultimate good. Not only that, the Gemara says in Brachos, Chayev adam levarech al ra'ah. Right, a person, when he hears the terrible news, he recites, Baruch Ato Hashem, Dayan HaEmes. And this is derived from the pasuk V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, that we have to love God with all our heart. And it says there b'chol nafshecha. Chazal say afilu hu notel es nafshecha. He takes your life. So the Gemara says that chayv adu levarech al ra'ah kishem shebevarech al atova. Well, what is this equation that the same way you thank God for good, you mevarech, you recite a brach al ra'ah. So Gemara says, Elam, if it means Kishem Shem Mevarech Al Tova, Tova Meitiv, Kach Mevarech Al Ra, Tova Meitiv. So the brach that you make when something great happens is a Tova Meitiv. So we cannot use that same brach if something evil befalls us, right? Levarech Al Ra, because the Mishnah establishes that Al Besor Ra, he should make the bracha Baruch Dayana Emes. So it can't be that the same bracha, the identical bracha, is recited for both Tov and Ra. So what does it mean? Kishem shemavarech ala Tov, kach mavarech ala Ra. So Rava says, lo nitzacha, here we're going to turn to page 2, el kabule besimcha. Rashi says, levarech al midas parodios belevav shalem. And it's an unbelievable madrega. You know, something terrible happens to you, and you make a bracha belevav shalem with your full heart, acknowledging and thanking God. How can you do that? That's an unbelievable madrega. The Shulchan Aruch, when he codifies this, Rav Yosef Cairo, he says, Chayev Adam Levarech Al Ra'ah, Bidas Shlema Ubenefesh Chafetza. Again, this is unbelievable. He's basically rewriting Rashi in different words, that when a person makes a brach on something terrible that happened, he should do it with a Das Shlema Ubenefesh Chafetza. Nefesh Chafetza means his soul is in a state of desire of simcha, and the Shulchan Aruch says ki derech shemivarech b'simcha latov ki ra li ovdei Hashem hi simchasam v'tovasam kevod shemekabel me'ava mashegozer alav Hashem nimsa shekabolas ra'azu bekabolas ra'azu ovedes Hashem shehi simcha lo. This is the greatest experience or expression of serving God. The greatest expression of serving God is when he says Besimcha God, everything that experience is for the good. And that's what it means. You have to reach this ultimate level that you can express your gratitude to Hashem for Ra'ah even with Simcha, just like you recite the Bracha Atova Meitiv Besimcha. So the question is, Lo nitna Torah l'malach yasharis. We have a principle that the Torah is not given to angels. We are physical, we are material, we're flesh and blood. How can you possibly expect of a physical, limited, finite human being that he would recite a brach al ra'ah with simcha, b'chol levavcha? He should be happy in that he's an oved Hashem, he's a servant of God. And the answer is offered by Rabbeinu Yonah, the great Rabbeinu Yonah of Spain, of almost 1,000 years ago. Rabbeinu Yonah says, what does it mean, Yivarech b'simcha l'ra'ah? He says, Chayiv adam l'varech l'ra'ah, k'shem shivarech l'tov, k'moshe m'varech l'tov b'simcha b'tovleim, kach yeshal l'varech l'ra'ah b'simcha. Why? L'kabel musar abore. He was selected and... What word am I looking for? He was chosen, if I can say it. He was chosen by God to receive this message, so to speak. I don't mean a message in words, but to receive this experience. And he calls it Musar HaBore. It's almost as if God is talking to him in a direct way. And if God is talking to you and he's giving you Musar, that you want to receive that Musa b'Sefer Panim Yofes. You have to realize that it's God who's critiquing you, but he's really uplifting you. He's taking you into his arms. V'yachshav, and he has to realize and acknowledge that it's kaparas avanosav. This is a terrible experience that he had, which is meant to be mechaper, you know, to wipe off his debts and his sins. And that's the level of simcha that he has to achieve. Simcha means that he has to realize that God is saying something to him, there's a direct communication, a message to him, and that this message is going to bring him kapara. So we're going to look at the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. You remember that the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, Rav Chaim ben Attar, lived in Tzfat 5 centuries ago, at the time of Yosef Karo. I mean, Tzfat at that time, I wish I could have lived at that time, if I could take a time machine. There were so many greats that walked the streets of Tzfat. In any event, he says in Parashas Tetzaveh, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, Uman imaskil al dover sha'omru zal besof baruch chai vanu v'ruch al rok yishem shem v'ruch al tova. He just reiterates the Gemara that we saw, so I'm not going to translate that. When I learned this Gemara, I thought this is far out. But the answer is that Yisurim Heim Makriven Anfei Haneshama Shehayu Rechokim Misharshon. He gives a metaphysical understanding. He says that the neshama of a person, his spirit, his soul, has various branches to it. And sometimes these branches move out in such a way that they're distanced from the roots. So that's called Anfei HaNeshama Rechokim Misharshon. The Ein Lecha Ra Umar, that's the worst evil that you can experience, is when these anofim, the expression of the neshama, is so far from its roots. It's like he's separated from God. However, as a result of his suffering, things that are far become closer. The Alze Yismach Lev HaMaskil, the Aruch Chaim says that he can achieve simcha on this basis. Again, I still think you have to be a Malach Hashem Tzvakos. But what you can at least appreciate here is that we begin to understand that when a person experiences evil, it is a process in which, through divine intervention, his suffering effectuates a process of kiruv anfei neshama l'sharsham, of bringing the branches of his neshama closer to his to the roots, and that gives a person a tremendous sense of kapara. And now we could go back and answer that question from Rashi, how Rashi identifies Zoveach Karban Todah. We're talking about a Karban Todah, and Rashi says he brings a Zevach al Tshuva v'Hodol Avanosav. A Karban Todah is a Karban that you bring because you experienced one of these great salvations, one of these great miracles, and you appreciate God's miracle. And now Rashi identifies it as a Zevach shel Tshuva v'Hodol Avanosav. The answer is, Rashi wanted an answer, a question. How could it be that the Torah commands us to bring a Karban Todah because of a miracle that we experienced? For example, a Cholish and Isrape, he was ill and he somehow survived. Is since a person has to recite a bracha al hara'ah on evil with the same simcha, with the same feeling and fervor as if he was mevarech al tova, then maybe instead of making the bracha on the health, on the fact that God miraculously restored him to health, he's chayv lahodos l'Hashem, he should be obligated to recite hodah al mashachola, on that which he contracted the disease. Why? Because you have to recite a bracha not only on a tova, when God heals you, but also al ra'ah, when you contracted the disease. So the answer is, he's going to bring a Karban Todah. And he's going to bring a Karban Todah not just on the healing, you know, the miracle, but he's going to bring a Karban Todah even on the choli, even on his disease that he contracted.
His illness, you have to
give. On his illness, right. It's unbelievable. Rashi is telling us that the Karban Todah is not just on on the healing process, but it's also on the disease itself. And why? Because this process of contracting a disease is meant to be a message from God that, you know what? You're experiencing this evil, this disease, and this suffering because you're the anfei ha-neshama are meruchakim from the neshama, from the shorish ha-neshama. In other words, you have to awaken yourself to do tshuva. So the choli is meant to form, to be a medium and a means to awaken you to do tshuva. That's what Rashi means when he says that this zevach toda is a zevach on the hodol avanosav. What does that have to do with the korban toda? The answer is the korban toda is not only on the salvation and the healing that he experienced, that he was able to get out of a hospital bed and now he can
got sick in the first place.
Exactly.
Unbelievable.
And why is that something that requires a zevach toda? Because what is the illness? The illness that God brought upon him was a medium to arouse him to do tshuva, so that the carbon itself, which now encompasses the hodah, not just on his healing but also on his disease, it's a carbon of a zevach for the hodah lavadosa, because now he realizes, and hopefully he realized it even while he was sick, but the entire process brings him to this acknowledgement, this awareness of his faults, of his deficiencies. And if it's a message to tell him that he should be misora to tshuva, that he should awaken himself to do tshuva, because that's what ra'ah is all about. And why do we make a bracha al ra'ah? Why do we thank Hashem for evil? Because that evil is meant to convey a message to him. Hey buddy, something is not working right here. Your neshama is not connected to its shoresh. You better do tshuva. On that he's going to bring a korban zevach. And this is what Rashi means when he says that the korban zevach is for the tshuva of hodah al avanosa. So again, if we take a look at the whole picture here, just to summarize, what we're saying here is that a person, when he makes a bracha al ra'ah, and we saw the Chazal, and it's codified in the Shulchan Aruch, require a simcha, and the Archaim and all the others ask, how can you expect us to be Malachi Ashores? The answer is that if we appreciate that God is sending us a message, and the suffering is meant to arouse us to do tshuva, then we can thank Hashem for sending us that message. So we were subject to such a long period of time of anguish, and the message is clear. We're somehow not doing the right thing, and we should do tshuva. And if we accept that message that's inherent in the suffering, then that should bring us to a certain simcha, because ultimately that suffering is going to be part and parcel of the kapara process. It's going to purify a person. And now we're up to the left column on page 2, and he says the following. In Shachris, there is a section, a formulation that says, "Lefichach anachdu chayovim lahodos l'cha shabeicha l'fa'ercha l'varech l'kadish v'lasei shevach modoy l'shmecha." In other words, the language of hodah takes on many different terms, or many different adjectives or verbs. Right? You have not just hodah chayov lahodos, but you have shevach, and you have Lefoer, Levarech, Lekadesh, Leshay Shevach. There's so many different words, so many different terms that refer to a person who is thanking Hashem for the great miracles of life. And if a person brings a korban todah, which is again Miloshen Odah, and he fits into the category of one of the four people who experience a great miracle and they have to recite a special bracha, it's interesting that of all the different lashonos, all the different terminologies, terms that are used to describe this concept of hodah, the one that's singled out, you could have said shevach, you could have said lefayer. You could have said bracha, levarech, lekadesh, lasei sheva. Instead, we say hoda. One single word is chosen amongst all these synonyms, and the question is why? Why do we mention dafka, the language of hoda? So he suggests that in order to answer this question, we're going to learn something from the Maggid of Mezrich, who was the Talmud Muvak of the Baal Shem, and he writes the following. There's something called Midas Hod, and Hod is the Shoresh, the root of the word Hodah. The Hinei Masha Mesir Hamasich Hamavdil Nikra Mamin. Ki omer lano admur agon moreno av dove bear, that's the Mizrich Magid. Ki lakach nikra hod mi loshan modim michlal de pligi. When you use the word modim, and that means a confession, it means that there's a debate and somebody says something that you disagree with, but then at the end you're modim. You admit that he's right. Ki b'makom shein plugta lo shayach lashon hodah. The word hodah means I confess that you're right and I was wrong. If there was never a debate to begin with, then you can't use the lashon hodah. Hodah means, yeah, now I admit that you were right and I was wrong. So there was a division, a difference of opinion until he was modeh. Yisrak b'makom de pligi. Only if there is a machlokas, then you can use the lashon hodah. In other words, even though they disagree, one person is modeh, he accepts and admits that the other one is right. It means that hodah is on a situation that at the beginning something looked absolutely wrong, and at the end it turns out to be something that's not wrong, it's something that's right. And that's called modeh. Modim means that initially I denied your claim. I thought you were fabricating, you were altering the truth. And now I'm modim that what you said is true. And that's called modim mechlal de pligi. We argued, I accused you of falsification, but now we're modim, and therefore there's no longer a machlokas. So at the beginning of the situation, it looked pretty bad, because when he heard the words of his friend, he thought his friend was fabricating the truth. That's not good. However, af shemitchila hayanira kira harei modal Hashem shalamito shel dover hayezet tov gomor. That in fact this was absolutely good. That's hodah, and this is going to place the word hodah, that term, on the highest level in the hierarchy of all these different lashonos of praising Hashem. The highest level is hodah, because that hodah indicates that there was a moment of evil when he thought that he was fabricating the truth, and now he's modeh that in fact that is the truth and that it's not a fabrication at all. And that's going to be the highest level a person could reach when he suffers something from God, some sort of terrible catastrophe, and immediately he says to God, I disagree with you, this is ra, this is evil. Ultimately, he reaches the high level of hodah, and then he thanks Hashem, because he realizes that the evil, so to speak, that God brought about him, brought upon him, was really for his benefit, or for the benefit of the world. Is Darash Rav Yosef, my dechsiv odcha Hashem ki anafta bi yoshev apcho utenachameni, v'ameh kosim medabri, v'shnei b'nei odm sheyotzu l'schora, yoshev lo kotz liyechem, v'em hiskel mechari v'gaz, v'yom im shomash shetoves v'inos shol chaver b'yam, hiskel mode u'mishabea. So you thought this is a terrible calamity. You know, he realizes he sat on a nail. Yeah, that's horrible. And then he realizes, after he starts getting angry, that his friend got on the boat, which he apparently didn't go on that boat. The boat was shipwrecked, and as a result, the man lost everything. Hiskil modu mishabech. Now, in compare, you know, his his discomfiture because he sat on a nail pales infinitely and mevutal in the comparison to his friend who lost everything in the yam. So mitchila, initially when he sat on this nail, then he was not able to go out to he couldn't make it on time for the
he was cursing and angry.
Right, he was cursing and angry, but as a result of the fact that he had this injury, he wasn't able to make it to the boat. You know, the boat was leaving on Monday at 9 and he didn't get there on time because he was too busy going to a podiatrist to fix his leg.
9/11, how many people didn't?
Exactly. 100% Ross. Immediately when I read this, I thought of 9/11.
Yeah, there was a guy in my show who worked for the Transit Authority, and many Shabbos' people come in and cuss him out. On the Shabbos after 9/11, a couple of guys came up to him and hugged him and said, "You and your stinking train saved my life."
That because it was so late.
Yeah, because they were delayed on the train.
Say once more, what was his job? He was in charge of the trains?
No, he worked in the office for the Transit Authority.
For the Transit Authority.
Yeah.
It's
like you blame your waiter if his food tastes terrible.
Right.
They blamed him when the trains didn't work. But the shop is after 9/11, they hugged him saying, "Your lousy trains saved my life."
Wow. So he says that he sits on this nail and he misses the boat. Little did he know that would save his life. He starts cursing, why did I sit on this nail? So we're on page 3 now. When he finds out that his friend Nebuch was in the shipwreck, he begins to realize what a great compassion God had, Chesed Nifla, Mein Kamo, that because of that coats, because he sat on that nail, he was saved from death. No one survived the shipwreck, apparently. So that's what Rav Yosef looks at this pasuk, and it says, "Odcha Hashem ki anafta bi." Odcha is miloshen hoda. Hoda means there was a machlokas, and then he was moded. The machlokas here was between him and Almighty God, and he was mechari from a God who says, "God, why did you give me this injury, and as a result, I missed my boat, I can't go out to the Schora." But at the end he was Moda. That's the Hodah. So the greatest level of thanks to Hashem is Hodah, when initially I said, I denied, I was angry at God, and then I realized, and I appreciated that it was all part of a plan for my benefit. Now, how did Rashi know that when it says, Zoveach Todah Abdineni, that this cover that you're giving through the Zevach Todah is on a zevach of tshuva and hodah al avonosav, and perhaps he learned it from the language, the terminology karbon todah, that the word todah itself is miloshen hodah. Just one second, I had a thought. Miloshen hodah. So I just want to point out on the side, let's not get sidetracked, I'll just mention it. The Pachad Yitzchak, that's of Yitzchak Hutna, he says that the Lashon Hodah means that he's admitting that he himself could not have done this on his own, that he's totally dependent upon someone else. Anytime you mode it to someone, that Hodah is a recognition that you yourself, bekochos atzmecha, if you only had your own abilities, you would have been a loser, you've been a goner. He's saying a different thing. He's saying that the Lashon Hodah is me Lashon confessing or admitting that you were right and I was wrong. Initially I thought I was right and you were wrong, and that was really bad that you were insisting on fabricating the truth. But now I realize that you were right and I was wrong. That's called the Lashon Hodah. Hodah means you had a claim and I had a claim. And now I'm moda that your claim is correct. Hodah spaldin kameh eidim dami. Now, the reason why this carbon is not called a carbon halel, but rather it's called a carbon hodah, is because a person, in order to achieve the ultimate goal of this carbon todah and to achieve hodah, he has to thank Hashem not just for the fact that he got out of jail, but for the fact that he went into jail. Not only for the fact that he was spared from this disease, but the fact that God brought about the disease to him. Because all these adversities, all these ra, are meant to bring a person to hodah.
It's a catalyst to God.
Correct, it's a catalyst.
That's a very high level of emunah we talk about. You know, something lousy happens.
So look, I would say the following. There are two scenarios. One scenario is where you never really understand and appreciate why, you know, why this had to happen to you. But then there's another case in which, you know, the piece of the puzzle finally fit into place. You know, he gets the telegram that his friend never died in a shipwreck. Now he realizes, Lamafreya, that what he thought was evil because he was delayed because of the coats, now he realizes that it's great.
If a person gets a heart attack, and then he gets out of it, it's very difficult to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he brought the heart attack in the first place.
So that Enochinami, that might be a madrega of Kemaloche Ashores, like we said before. But It's a goal, if you follow me. It's an ideal that we should acknowledge, you know, should be aware of. The lower level of hodah is when you actually moda, you know, when you said to God, I was angry at you, and then you realize that the reason you were angry was really a reason that brought about salvation and really was a divine compassion. That would be a case of hodah. And you know, we might see that experience in our lives. You know, I mean, my challenge, for example, in my life is that I used to be a great Rosh Hashiva. You know, I had hundreds of students, and now I'm here at the Amic Learning Center. So, you know, my challenge is to see all the experiences that I went through as something that Hashem had. You know, He had a greater plan for me. You know, everybody has their own challenges in life, and this is called a hodah. You know, if you can finally get to the level where you're moda, that really, you know, what you thought was horrible. You know, take for example a person loses a job, especially for a man, that's devastating. I know people whose chesed operation in life is to help people get jobs. There's all sorts of type of chesed projects that you can take on. And in a certain sense, from one perspective, this is the greatest chesed you could do for someone who lost a job. Because once you lose a job, you feel like you're nothing. You feel like you're a total loser. There's nothing more depressing than that. And, you know, to get to the level of hodah, where I can see that I lost one job, but I got a better job, you know, that's a miracle that sometimes happens. But in most cases, ein balanes makir benisa. So this level of hodah is almost beyond reach, because he never, you know, the man now has a pacemaker or whatever the results of his stroke. He can never, I mean, chas shalom, I shouldn't say this, but it's very, very challenging. It's very demanding for him to understand why he had to do this. So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh that we learned earlier, he says, well, realize that this is the way you're going to reconnect your Anfei HaNeshama with Shor HaShem. This is part of a kapara process. And Rashi says that, you know, that the Zevach Todah is Miloshen Odah, because you admit Hashem that the original Choli and the original Beis Hasurim and so all the suffering, it was all for your benefit. That's a Odah. You argued because initially you felt absolutely terrible. You wanted to yell and scream and curse God, Chas v'Shalom. And now you calm down and you moda because now you're in a different situation. That's the ultimate karban toda of Lashon Hodah. We don't have too much time, so let's see. I don't expect that we'll finish all of the
essay. The end is a test. He goes into the letter test at the end.
Oh yeah, I want to get to the letter test if we could, because that's one of the punchlines of this whole essay. Amar Rav Chisda, Gemara Psachim, May dichsiv hodu Hashem ki tov, hodu Hashem shegova chovaso shel adam b'tovaso, Asher b'shuro ani b'seyo. Yosom bebeit soso almana b'tarnagoloso. Now, what does this mean? Rashi says, Osher b'shoro, mafsido mamon u'mechaper al gufo. Interesting. That somehow he owns an ox. How do you translate shor into English? Is an ox? Or a bull? What's a bull? Oh, a bull is a cow. A shor is an ox, I think. Yeah.
Ox or someone else's.
Yeah, there's
a
technical difference between a bull and an ox, but
oh, it's similar.
Basically synonymous. Yeah.
Oh,
I think one's used for work, one's used for period of review.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Basically, they're the same.
So we'll say his ox caused some sort of a damage, and now he has to pay a chov, and that's called a hefseid mamon. And Rashi says umachaper al gufo. What is Rashi teaching us, and what is Rav Chisda teaching us? He's saying that there's a very profound idea here. And this is something which Rav Chisda derives from David HaMelech's Hodu Lashem Kito. And what does it mean? We would think Hodu Lashem Kito means that God did such great things for us, that we're getting chesed from Hashem at every moment of our lives. Comes Rav Chisda and he tells us no. That's not the real interpretation of the pasuk. What is Hodu Lashem Ki Tov? David is teaching us something about a hodah, a confession. A man lost mamon, o rechush shenigram lanu. Right. So let's say we lost some possessions. We have to believe that this is part of Rachmanus and Chesed Vashem. First, God demands a kapara, and God says, I'll take away the shor or whatever damages the shor did. And then God says, you know what? If I do that, you won't be punished. That's called in Rashi's language, Mechaper al Gufo. If we acknowledge with great faith that our loss of possessions really is a punishment that's going to bring about kapara al gufo, and this is really a great chesed of Hashem, that's called Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki Lo Amchazdo. Now wait a second. When Rav Chisda saw this pasuk, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, why did he insist that we're talking about a scenario in which a person is being punished? Right, he goes through all these cases of ibud rechush, where somebody lost money. Why? But the answer is that he wanted to shtel, he wanted to understand hodu lashem kitov, lashon hodah. Hodah means that there was a machlokes, and now he admits, he says you were right and I was wrong. So Chizda says that must be a case of ibud rechusho, meaning that even though he lost his possessions, he had absolute faith and reliance on Hashem, that this was meant to be mechaper and to awaken him to do tshuva. And at the end, this is going to be a kapar al gufo. That's his hodah, and that's what it means when it says hodu Hashem ki tov. So initially he loses his money and he starts screaming and yelling and he's upset and he thinks, why did God do this to me? Where's my God? You've heard it, of people who complain, this is God. And the answer is that ultimately he's moda. And that's the ultimate. That's the Hodu Hashem Ki Tov. A person ever got sick and he cries and he sees evil, and all of a sudden it dawns upon him that this is a tmurah, that God is bringing this about instead of something worse or worse suffering or taking his life. And then when he gets healthy, he's able to appreciate that whatever suffering and machla he experienced, it was all a kapara. I know my father-in-law, whenever something bad happens to him, he says, Solzayna kapara. Do you ever hear that phrase? It's a Yiddish phrase. And it means that we should understand that everything that happens to us, it's all part of a divine plan for kapara. and instead of yelling and screaming and crying and saying, why did this have to happen to me, get the message, my friend, and get to the level of Hodah. You may start with an initial pluta, you know, you disagree with God, you think God made a bad judgment call, but eventually you admit that this was part of a divine plan, and that's the highest level of Munah. And then you can thank Hashem, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, it's Hodah Spaldin. Now let's swing back to Vidu Bikurim. Remember, we asked the question, when a person brings his Bikurim, why does the Mishnah call that Vidu? And the answer is on the top left column of page 3, Sharei Yadua, Ki Kidei Sheyizke HaAdam Liros, Es Gmar Tzmichas Peres Pesadeu Tzarech Tchilul Amol Koshos. A person is not going to get fruits on his tree by snapping his finger. He has to put in a great deal of effort and toil. He's got to plow the ground, he's got to seed the ground, he's got to water the ground, he may have to irrigate himself and so on. He's got to remove all the thorns and the thistles. And at the end of the culmination of this entire long process of amelus, of tremendous amount of work, then he sees the fruit of his labor. And he begins to get very excited about it. And perhaps he can understand that all the work and toil and effort that he put in, and there was a lot of anxiety and anguish as well, maybe that's all a punishment that's meant to bring about a kapara. And we begin to understand, perhaps, the emphasis here in the Mishnah Bikurim on the te'ena of the fig. That was the te'ena of the chait of Eitz Hadas, according to that opinion. And basically, when he sees a fig that matures on the, you know, the first fig on the tree, and he designates it for Bikurim, there's a whole nother level here of Hodah. It's not just a Hodah on the fact that he has the fig, but he's going to be moda on all the suffering and all the anguish and all the effort and the labor and the sweat and toil that he put in order that these fruits should grow. Because as a result of all that, he's going to achieve a kapara. And not only that, that's his contribution towards the cause of the ultimate kapara for chet eitz hadas. And this touches on the concept of a neshama kolelis, if you remember that Adam and Chava incorporate the entire world. Therefore, when he brings a karban todah, or in this case he brings bikurim, he's going to recite a vidui. What does it mean, a vidui? After all, he's thanking Hashem for all the things that God did for him. Why is that called a vidui? The answer is, he's being molded that if this fruit matured and grew on the tree, that as a result, as the culmination of a very long and tedious and painful process, I'm going to be molded. And I'm admitting that even all the suffering that I put in this process, that's all part of the kapara. And the reason why the Mishnah chose a code word of te'ena is to indicate that this is a kapara for the sin of the Eitz Hadas, because every person needs to be mechaper for that sin of the Eitz Hadas. And what is his kapara? His kapara is this hodah process of bringing bikurim, in this case from a te'ena, and saying to Almighty God that I know that even all the suffering and all the work that I put in, it's all part of the divine plan. And I thank you, Hashem, even for that, because that was a mean and a method that to bring about kapara. And that's what perhaps the Rama means when he says that Aniso Amartos Ne Hashem Alkecha Rami Ovid Ovi, etc., etc. The Rama goes through the whole parsha, and again the parsha indicates that the maybe Bikurim has to be Moda and be Mahal Hashem, who gave it, for God gave him the land. And now we can eat from the peros of Eretz Yisrael. However, why does he have to go into great detail and tell the entire history, the shalshalas of Klal Yisrael, Arami Ovid Avi, Vayir Mitzrayim, all the suffering of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, Vayareu Osana Mitzvah Ve'anunu, Vayitnu Olenu Alvodu Kosha? What does that have to do with Mitzvahs Bikurim? And it seems that the Rambam derived from this a major principle, that a person has to be moded to Hashem, not only on the exodus from Mitzrayim, but even on the suffering of Golas Mitzrayim. It's an unbelievable obligation here that you're not only thanking Hashem for the Yetziah or the Geula of Mitzrayim, but you're also at the same time thanking Hashem for the Golas of Mitzrayim. That was a wonderful opportunity to purify the neshamas. That's what the Chazal speak about, a kura barzel, that it's mizakikin es azov. And basically this whole process of Golas Mitzrayim is meant to clean us out, you know, from all the dross of the Nachash HaKadmoni, and now prepare us for Kabbalah HaTorah. So when we thank Hashem for this whole process of not only Geula Mitzrayim, but the Golas Mitzrayim, this is a real Hodas Baldin. This is the ultimate level of being a Makir Tov. Why? Because Makir Tov means Hodah. And Hodah means that I recognize that even all the suffering of my in Mitzrayim is all part of a divine plan for the benefit of myself and for all of Klal Yisrael. And then we go back to our original question: why does Rashi say She'encha Kofui Tova? Why doesn't he use a positive language? She'encha Makir Tova. And the answer is that a person is required to be Modal Hashem Hodah, not only on the good, which obviously he recognizes, but even on Dvarim She'eino Makirim Kol Ktov, even on something that looks at the face of it to be something terrible, something negative, it's a Ra Gomor, he calls it, but nevertheless, I'm not a Kofri Tova. But rather, I express my belief in God with a total faith in God that everything kol ma diavad rachmana l'tavavid, that as a result of this suffering, that's going to give me a zechus for kaparas avonos, and that's kishem shemavarech al tova kach mavarech al ra'ah, and therefore I'm not a kofri tova. And it means that I believe in the test, in the letter test. What does it mean to believe in the letter test? It says, V'yamarta elov, she'encha, Rashi says, she'encha kofui tova. It doesn't say she'encha makir tova. And what is the lashon tova? Why doesn't he say she'encha kofui chesed or rachmanus? Why does it say tova? And obviously the word tova begins with the letter test. And what does it mean? When God created the world, the Zohar says, every one of the letters came in front of God and asked that God create the world with that letter. So the Aleph said to create the universe with an Aleph, and so forth and so on. So with regard to each one of these letters, HaKadosh Baruch Hu explained to them why he can't create the world with that letter. Now the letter test comes in front of Ribbono Shel Olam and asks and requests, God, create the universe with me. Nichnasa os tes amr lefan ribono shel olam noach lefanecha livro bias ha'olam. Why don't you want to create the world with me? After all, it says that God is called Tov Yashar, so the letter tes appears as Tov Yashar. That's the name of God, or a description of God. Amr Allah, Lo ibra b'cha esalon, I can't use you to create the olam. Why? Shari tovascha tovcha sasum v'tzafun v'tochecha. All that good is hidden within you, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, Ma rav tovcha shatzafanta lireyecha. Is therefore hoil the gunus b'tochecha ein ba chelik l'olam hazeh. So what does this mean? Says the Bnei Yisoschar, the letter test has a right side which is a little bit bent down and a left side which goes straight up. And this comes to teach us that Tovcha Gonuz Begavach, right, that the right side is kafuf, right? It's bent down inside of it because the tov is held. He holds it for himself. So when you hold it for yourself, you bend it inside. And the or haganus of tes rishona b'torah vayara l'kim es haor ki tov. We always look for the first time it appears in the Torah. And Rashi says, "Af bozel anu tzrikim l'divrei agado ra'a." So God becomes aware of this great, infinite, supernal light, and he says it's too dangerous to leave it here in this world because the Rishon might get to it, and therefore he designates it for the Olam Haba. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the letter Tess that Tov Ganuz V'Sasum Ba V'Ein Mekoma Lo Ba'olam Hazeh Ki'im Ba'olam Haba, it's based on the Gemara in Pesachim, Lo Kol Hamazel Olam Haba, Olam Hazel Besoras Tovos Omer Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv, V'al Besoras Ros Omer Baruch Dayon HaEmes, Uli Olam Haba Kulo Tov, and therefore Kulo HaTov HaMeitiv. So the Tzlach is Medayik. What is the Chiddush in Li Olam Haba Kulo HaTov HaMeitiv? He says, Li Asid Lovo, there won't be any Ra in the world. So what are you telling me that everything is Tov HaMeitiv? I'm looking at my clock and I think it's already time for Myris. Oh, I davened already before. I don't know if you did. So let's take a break over here because it's getting a little late. We'll try to finish this up another time if we can. And I want to take this opportunity to thank you and wish you everyone.